The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, escorted by all the angels, then he will take his seat on his throne of glory. All the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate men one from another, as the shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you whom my father has blessed, take for your heritage the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you made me welcome, naked, and you clothed me, sick, and you visited me, in prison, and you came to see me.' Then the virtuous will say to him in reply, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and make you welcome, naked and clothe you, sick or in prison, and go to see you?' And the king will answer, 'I tell you solemnly, insofar as you did this to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me.' Next he will say to those on his left hand, 'Go away from me with your curse upon you to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you never gave me food. I was thirsty and you never gave me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you never made me welcome, naked, and you never clothed me, sick and in prison, and you never visited me.' Then it will be their turn to ask, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or naked, sick or in prison, and did not come to your help?' Then he will answer, 'I tell you solemnly, insofar as you neglected to do this to one of the least of these, you neglected to do it to me.' And they will go away to eternal punishment, and the virtuous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. That Gospel reading is an excellent illustration of an all too familiar them and us mentality. When we hear the story of the judgment between the sheep and the goats, what does it make us think? Do you instinctively see yourself as a sheep or a goat? Most of us, I suspect, are secretly confident that we are among the sheep. After all, we come to church, we support good causes, we try to be kind to one another. We are on the side of good and right, and even if we don't actually go visiting people in prison or help to house the homeless ourselves, we may perhaps give financial support to those who do. What is more, most of us can think of people we would like to class as goats. There are those who just need to get their comeuppance. Not only people we dislike, but those we come to regard as evil. Isn't it satisfying to think of a final judgment in which all the world's murderous dictators get what they deserve? So this story of the Last Judgment reflects our human instincts and desires. We want justice. We want to be rewarded for our own efforts. And we want to see the wicked punished. But in fact, the scholars tell us that this is probably the wrong way in which to read this story. It's much more likely that when Jesus says, "Just as you did it to one of these, you did it to me," Matthew intends the reference to be to the Christian family. In other words, the division between sheep and goats is made on the basis of our treatment of each other, of our fellow Christians. Matthew was writing his gospel for the Jews, and so this story draws on all the sheep imagery which we find in the Old Testament. for its impact and for its force. You see, a Jewish audience would have heard the word sheep and would have been reminded of the ways in which God's people are described as his flock. And God himself is seen as the shepherd. Tell them a story about sheep and goats, and they would know automatically that it is about making a distinction between those who are inside and those who are outside the boundaries of the people of God. In their terms, of course, the Jewish race. So Matthew's first readers would have been fully justified in seeing themselves as the sheep of which Jesus speaks. They are the righteous ones who are rewarded with eternal life because they are followers of Christ. And however unworthy the thought, they cannot help enjoying the thought of all those who have mocked and even perhaps persecuted them, getting their just deserts. Today we celebrate the kingship of Christ. Our gospel reading pictures Christ's role as that of judge. The king sits on his throne, and the nations are brought to him for judgment. But we know there is a lot more to kingship than just that. The king on the judgment throne is, as the book of the Apocalypse constantly reminds us, also the lamb who was slaughtered. Here is a sheep, sheep image again, note, here is a sheep who was punished, though he did no wrong, and yet prayed that his persecutors may be forgiven. And there we have a different angle altogether. The gospel story which we've heard today is indeed realistic about human desires and thus reflects what we want our king to do. After all, don't we want the world to be sorted out? Every day we hear more horrendous things in the news. We want the good rewarded. We want to see the wicked punished. Those desires are affirmed as good and right. But this vision of Christ's rule needs to be set alongside that so that we get a fuller picture. Then we might realize that the Lamb who sits on the throne is more likely to understand and forgive than to send to eternal punishment. Yes, it's natural for us to think of us and them, but it is also dangerous, as political situations around the world constantly remind us. Much of the trouble we read about and hear about in the news is caused by one group which feels it has the monopoly of the truth, both in politics and in religion, and that all others should be stamped out. Whether we look historically at Northern Ireland, or the Holy Land, or the activities of Islamic fundamentalist groups around the world, we see the same kind of thing going on, often wrongly in the name of religion, but in reality having nothing whatever to do with what lies at the heart of true religion. Perhaps what this parable of Jesus reminds us above all is that sorting out the righteous from the wicked is a job not for us, but for the divine ruler. We had best leave well alone when it comes to the area of judgment. Meanwhile, there is every reason to make sure we belong to the flock that follows Christ, the flock that recognizes his voice and that sees his face in the hungry, the homeless, and the prisoners.